Welcome everybody to yet another episode of the Don't Be Broke, Be Woke podcast. I'm your host, Adrian Solomon. Hope you guys are having a great day. We are in September, everyone. The year is going really fast. I think it's actually going faster than 2020, as far as I'm concerned. I hope you guys are enjoying our previous episode where I'm getting some pretty good guests talking about everything from crypto and taxes and budgeting. Today, I have another special guest talking about investing for kids, something we really haven't spent much time talking about, so this should be exciting. Before we get into that conversation, just wanted to remind you guys, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. Make sure you go and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you listen to your podcast. If you are a returner, thank you for sticking with me through all these months. Appreciate you. But without further ado, I want to basically introduce Danielle. We, as most of you guys know by now, most of my guests, we've kind of met through Instagram. Funny enough, we both were on, well, I was part of a webinar where she was discussing investing for kids, and she had a really nice presentation. And the good thing about finance, or at least the good thing about education, is that you never really stop learning. And so even though I was quite aware of a lot of things, I learned more things through that webinar. And so I understood she had a niche for this particular subject, so I wanted to bring her on so she can kind of talk to us high level about some of these things. So hello, good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to talk about investing for kids. That is truly my passion, and I just appreciate the opportunity to speak to your guest today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And obviously, you're welcome. I have appreciated a lot of the educational piece that you're putting out there when it comes to that, because I think it's something that we all think about, but we think about it a little bit too late. And I think one of the things that you're trying to teach or show is that you can start early, even before your kids are actually born. And we'll get to that in a minute.
Absolutely.
But before we get into that, I wanted the audience to kind of get to know our guests. So if you want to take some time, Danielle, kind of introduce yourself to us as far as like kind of your background. Do you have a background in finance and kind of what got you started into this whole kind of journey?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, my name is Danielle Shirley. I am a wife and a mom of two. I have a 14-year-old girl and a 6-year-old boy. I am a recent college graduate. So I graduated with the class of 2020 at the beginning of the pandemic. My degree is actually in business. So I did learn finance in there. But as you know, most high school and college education don't really tap on personal finance. So I learned most of my personal finance skills, investing skills, and money management outside of the classroom. I found myself after graduation teaching my daughter how money works, because after I graduated, I turned around and said, oh my goodness, my kids are about to go to college too. And that was a real wake-up moment for me. I realized that she had her own interests in owning a business, and she had her own interest in making money and go to college. And I started to teach her those basics. I started to teach her how money works, how you make money, how you save money, how you budget, how you invest. And so as I was documenting this journey with my own children, I started to get so many questions from parents on Instagram saying, how are you doing this? How are you reaching your children to teach them financial literacy? Because they truly wanted to do the same. And that is really how my business got started. Right now, I am basically a financial educator and a coach. I'm also a writer. So my passion is teaching others how to equip their kids to be financially literate kids and to teach their kids to be investors in the stock market.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
I didn't realize you had just graduated over a year ago. Congratulations. That's a pretty great accomplishment.
Thank you so much. I actually have a really tremendous college grad story. It's one that's near and dear to my heart. I'm a first generation college graduate. So even as a 30-something year old, you know, college student, adult, working mom, working full-time student, it was a huge accomplishment and a huge honor for me to finish that degree that I had been working on for literally 15 years. You see, when I graduated high school, I became a really young mom. So my college education was on again, off again for a span of 10 to 15 years. But the last 2 years from 2018 to 2020, I dedicated myself to saying, you know what, enough is enough. I'm committed to finishing this degree. And I had my kids watching me at the dinner table while I was finishing papers, while I was falling asleep on college exams. So that really hit me hard to know that my kids are watching me finish that degree. And it's inspiring them to go to pursue a college degree if that's what they choose.
You know, I know this podcast episode is really to talk about how to invest for kids. But before we get to that, I want to spend some time on this notion that you wanted to get this college education, because it is something myself I have personally struggled with. Just because I went to college, I finished, I stopped, I came back. And then as my personal career got better, I just decided it wasn't something I really needed. But recently I've kind of thought about why not? And one of my bosses was like, why do you need it? And I'm like, I think it's a personal thing for me. It's not like, oh my God, I need this to be successful in life, but it's almost for me a personal achievement that I want to achieve. And so hearing you kind of saying after 15 years, I'm doing this and I'm going to struggle to get it done because it's what I want to do. It's really an inspiration for me because that's something that I've struggled with myself.
I'm so glad to hear that because I want to inspire parents to understand that you can do anything you set your mind to. You really can. We are super moms, super dads, super grandmas. And it really does tie into the personal finance and investing for your kids. Here's the reason why. I teach people how to start college savings plans. So to think about the fact that college may be in your kid's future, or the fact that I finished as an adult student, kind of brings it all full circle, because that's one of the four accounts we'll be talking about today in how to invest for your kids. You know, many kids think that college is kind of out of reach for them if they don't come from a wealthy family or if they don't attain scholarships. And they're like, well, I guess I can't go to college because I don't have the money. I don't want that to be a barrier. I want you to say, you know what, if college is in my future, if college is something that I want to do, granted, I know that not everyone is interested in college, and that's okay. I was, just like you said a minute ago, it's a personal thing for me. You know, coming from a background, you know, I'm a woman of color. My family is Jamaican. And I was the first person in my family, my immediate family, to go and finish college. So that was a personal badge of honor for me. But not only that, I love college. I love education. So for me, it made sense. Granted, like I said, other people may not have that same opinion, and that's okay. College is not for everyone, and you certainly don't need it to be successful. But I'm here to equip parents to be like, okay, if my kid wants to go to college, go to law school, go to medical school, do whatever, I want to be able to at least save and contribute what I can to do my best to get them through.
Yeah. And since you opened that, let's dive into that. So when it comes to kind of investing for your kid's future, I personally know that there's a couple of ways you can do this. There are different accounts that you can use. So kind of on a very high level, what are some kind of popular accounts that you can use to invest for your kids, both from the educational perspective, but also from the kind of wealth building perspective, if that makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? 2020 and 2021, the buzzword of those 2 years were all about generational wealth. When the stock market took a huge dip in March of 2020, everybody was like, opportunity, let's get invested, right? Massive accounts were opened at Robinhood. Massive accounts were opened, you know, all over the place. Acorns, I mean, TD Ameritrade. There was a surge of new investors in the market. And I took this as a very big learning opportunity to kind of guide parents who were just learning themselves how to be an investor. And so I kind of take this approach twofold. I teach parents how to invest for themselves and invest for their kids. And there's four main accounts that I teach about. The first one is a college savings plan. And so that the one that I promote is a 529 college savings plan. The second account I talk about is a retirement account for your kids. And specifically, that's a custodial Roth IRA. That's an individual retirement account. The third account I teach is a traditional stock market account for kids. What that's called is a custodial UGMA, which is Uniform Gift to Minors, or UTMA, Uniform Transfer to Minors account. And basically, it's just a traditional stock market brokerage account. And the fourth account I teach is actually not an investment account whatsoever. It's a high yield savings account. But I encourage parents to learn about it because it teaches kids healthy money and saving habits, especially if they have a checking account already. It teaches them kind of how to save for short-term goals without the money being tied up in investments. We'll dive deeper into those accounts. I definitely want to teach you guys how that works.
Yeah, thank you. And I think, you know, as myself, you know, starting investing for my kids 2 years ago, I personally, like, this is obviously a personal choice of mine and my wife. We only did the custodial, the UTMA or UGMA. I don't remember which one we did. But as we started paying our kids for chores and being part of the business, then we did the custodial Roth. And I know you're going to explain a little bit more about that. Funny enough, both of our kids now, well, all three of our kids have like a checking account or something, and they have a savings account tied to it where they can now set up their own saving goals for, as you were mentioning, short-term things that they want, such as like things they want to buy, gifts for the parents. So it helps them with that. So I'll kind of guide you into each one, starting with the high yield savings account, because that's kind of the most basic one, and the benefits that I provide from outside of the saving aspect, the benefits that I provide to like the parents or the kids.
Yeah, that's actually a great one to start our conversation with, because let's say, for example, parents are, you know, just starting to learn how to invest. Or let's say parents have short-term goals for their kids, or let's say your kids are older and they have short-term goals for themselves. A high-yield savings account is perfect for that. The money is not invested in the stock market, so it's pretty liquid. You can deposit the money and you can pull it out without having to buy or sell any type of stocks. That's great because if you need the money quickly, it's there for you. Normally, high-yield savings accounts are through online banks like some of the ones that I love are like Ally or Capital One, or there's many online savings accounts on there. And they typically provide slightly higher interest than a traditional savings account. But right now, when we're recording this podcast, it's September 2021, my high yield savings account is giving me about 0.5%. So if you'll notice, that's pretty low in comparison to the stock market, but that's okay for the purpose of this account. The purpose of this account is for short-term savings. So what do I mean? Short-term savings could be something like my kid wants to buy a $500 bike, let's say. So every month we're putting aside, let's say $50 a month until they hit that goal. Once they hit that goal, we need to withdraw the money and buy the bike. So that is what short-term goals kind of look like. You don't want to put that money in the stock market and then all of a sudden when you need to make that purchase, your stocks are at a loss and then you can't really sell. And then you're like, I don't know what to do. And so this is kind of like that security where, you know, you're not gaining much interest on that money, but it is available for you when you need it for that short-term goal.
Yeah. And for the guys listening, just to give you an idea, and you might be saying, well, what's wrong with my Chase savings account? Nothing wrong with that. But the actual interest that you're earning is far, far less than what you're getting with, let's say, an Ally or Capital One or any of the online banks that have high yield savings accounts. So, you know, so the reason why we're saying high yield is because you're gaining some interest. Yes, it's still very small compared to what you're getting in the stock market, but it's better than what you would get with a traditional savings account. So that's why we're saying high yield. Nothing wrong with your current savings account, but we're helping you think bigger. And bigger means you can still be in a savings, but why not get something for your money that's basically in a savings account, hence the YSA.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, a traditional savings account would probably give you 0.01%, whereas a high yield savings account would give you 0.5%. So that's half of a percent. Still pretty low. To kind of piggyback on that comment real quick, a lot of people ask me about money markets. They're also great options as well, but most of them have terms. So the high yield savings account gives you the most flexibility. So what I mean by terms is some of them may say, okay, you need a minimum $1,000 deposit and you can't withdraw for X amount of time, or you'll get penalized for withdrawing, or X, Y, and Z. So that is a great option if it gives you higher interest for longer term savings. But I like the high yield savings account because the kids really get to know what it's like to put away money and save that way. I like having the kids active in what I'm doing for them.
Ditto.
Yes.
And I think what's even better, like I didn't even realize money markets was still a thing until I asked my wife, because she works at a bank, and she was like, yeah. But what's cool, guys, at least with the high yield savings accounts, I know with Ally and I know with Capital One, is you can actually create different buckets for your goals. So
yes.
If the kids is saving different things, so my oldest wants like certain something for Christmas and something else, so he puts different buckets and it's different goals. So like when he gets paid, he puts $20 here, $50 there. So it's for him, it's not putting everything in the same bucket. It's almost like a sinking fund, but we need to get into that. But I think that's what's cool, is that it allows you to be more engaged in what you're savings for. I actually really like it.
Yes, myself. I love that.
So now that we've talked about the high yield savings account, let's talk about a really, really, really good account that I don't think most people really understand or know about, which is the custodial account, or the UGMA or UGMA.
Yes, this one is actually the account that most people think about when they think about investing for their kids. They think about the stock market, which is natural. They think, okay, I'm going to buy and sell stocks for my kids. So this account is just like if you guys out there have an investment account, a brokerage account for yourself. This is the exact same thing, except minors cannot open accounts for themselves. So you have to designate a custodian to manage that account for them until they turn age of majority. Now, I live in Florida, so the account's going to get transferred over to my son and my daughter when they turn 21. Now, in your state, wherever you're listening from, it may be either 18 or 21. Every state has a different requirement. But basically, you are the custodian as the parent or the grandparent or the aunt or the uncle. You are the custodian, so you make the best money decisions for that account. And the account is in the benefit of that child. You can buy stocks in that account. You can buy ETFs. You can buy index funds. You can buy basically anything that the stock market provides. I like this account because it doesn't require a trust or an attorney or death. You know, it's not after I pass away that that account gets transferred to the kids. No, it actually gets used while I'm still alive, which is pretty cool. I like that account because it gives them ultimate flexibility. You know, they can buy whatever they want. They can take out the money whenever they want, pretty much, with some exception. And they can also put it towards whatever they want. They don't have to put it towards college. They don't have to put it towards retirement. It's a very flexible account. Now, those are the pros of that account, right? To talk about some of the cons of this account is, it doesn't give you as much tax advantages as some of the other accounts we'll talk about today. So just keep that in mind. And also, some parents are concerned that this account gets transferred over to the kid at 18 or 21. That's pretty young. But that is why I encourage parents and teach parents to teach financial literacy along the way and kind of put money in that account that matches their savings goals. So if you don't want them to graduate high school with, like, I don't know, $1 million in their UGMA, for example, and you're not confident that they'll use it properly, you know, just budget accordingly. I think spreading the money out amongst these four accounts we're going to talk about today is vitally important.
Yeah. The last point you made, which is a lot of people stay away from this because they just think, oh my God, that account's going to go into my kid's name. Then they're going to take it and they might just blow it out. Well, sure, but it is our responsibility to make sure they understand the benefit of keeping it in there, in the custodial account anyways. And so I'll give the audience an example of what I did for my kids, at least for my oldest, is I showed him the custodial account that I have, and we live in Georgia, so his is when he turns 21. But I opened a Stash, which is a different brokerage account that you can have, for him to actually learn, because Stash is very educational. It shows people like what different stocks are. Do you want to invest? And he's very big into gaming. So he's basically investing in things he knows. And then he's seeing the money grow there, so that the little piece that he's investing there is giving him knowledge on how big that can impact his custodial account, which means that when he turns 21, he's not going to be eager to take the money because he understands what happens when you invest. So I'm not saying that's what everybody should do, but that's one of the ways that I taught him how he can actually understand how investing works on his own, so that when he sees the big number in the custodial account when he turns 21, he's not like, I'm going to take this and buy myself a $20,000 computer, something like that. So,
Wow, I love that. Yeah, that's a great example. And you know what? I also take some pride and confidence in knowing that I'm going to be showing my children once they get old enough. My 14-year-old is old enough now, but I have also a 6-year-old who's not there yet.
Right.
But the reason why I like a custodial account is for this specific purpose. She can go in that account and I want to show her what everything looks like, because that takes away a huge intimidation factor. A lot of adults are even afraid of investing because they're like, this looks so confusing. I don't know what this means. I don't even know how to buy or sell. But now I'm gifting my daughter the confidence to log into her account, to look at the numbers, to say, hey, are we going up or down today? Hey, what is this index fund costing you? And so I'm equipping her with all of these things to give her that confidence. Now, some parents who don't feel comfortable with, you know, rolling over all of that money to their kids, what they do is open a separate brokerage account in their own name as the parent. And later on down the line, they'll decide to gift their kids at whatever age they feel appropriate and at whatever amount they feel is appropriate. They decide to gift them those assets later on, which is totally fine too. That's how you kind of can skirt around that requirement. But I love the custodial account because my daughter is 100% hands-on in that account and she knows that money is hers.
That's right. And for anybody listening, I don't want you guys to think that one way is better than another. Like, personal finance is personal. Whatever you think is best for you and your family, how you're doing it, is your way. And that means involving your kids, you're already winning. How you decide to do it is up to you. So don't think like the way Danielle's doing it, the way Adrian's doing it, the way someone else is doing it. Listen to it, pick whichever works for you, and then you roll with it. But there's not a, you should do this way, as Danielle's probably going to talk about with the other ones. It's all about options and your choices. So I wanted to put that out there. Now, the account that's like unknown or parents don't know about, but that's really, really hot, and that's the custodial Roth IRA.
Yes, this is my favorite account. Well, actually, they're all my favorite account because I'm just a finance nerd. So they all make me very, very happy. I love the custodial Roth IRA. It brings me immense joy to talk about it because most people don't think about retirement, honestly, until they get their first big job and their benefits manager says, hey, you know, you can start contributing to your retirement. And then you're like, the wheels start to turn in your 20s or 30s even. And that's when most people start planning for retirement. And very quickly they realize, oh man, I feel late. I feel behind the ball. I feel like had I started 10, 15 years before, I would have been in a better position. So that is all regret. That is all, you know, hindsight is 20/20, right? So now as a parent, I feel obligated. I feel the immense responsibility to teach and educate my children, my nieces, my nephews, my children, my grandchildren one day, that early planning and early preparation, consistency, and all of that will help to prevent those retirement scary moments where you're like, can I afford to retire? Social Security is not going to be there for me. Can I afford to retire? So what I realized is that children can have a retirement account. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? This is amazing. So I started to do some more research and I realized that the only qualification really in order to start investing for your kids' retirement is that they have to earn some type of income. Now, it can't be from doing household chores. It has to be doing earned taxable income through a job. That could be working at the local supermarket. That could be if they're a baby model. So, you know, even babies can have earned income. And it could be from a variety of different types of jobs, even summer jobs, you know, mowing the lawn and doing different things. As long as you accurately document the process, you certainly can open that retirement account for kids. The reason why I love it so much, to be honest, is it has immense tax benefits. You put the money in after you're taxed from your job. But then the beautiful thing is the growth and the withdrawal in retirement is all tax free. So that is why I love Roth IRAs.
Yeah, guys, think of this. By the way, this also exists for, you know, grown people.
But yes, like, yes.
if you think of it, if you have a teenager who's actually earning money, right? Let's just say they're 15, 16, and you have them working at Dunkin' Donuts, for example, or whatnot, and they start putting 10 bucks a week. Yeah, I know that sounds like nothing. But let me tell you, 10 bucks a week at 15, 16 is massive because it's money that's growing and earning interest and compounding. So all the money that's growing in there, when your child reaches an age that they want to retire, can pull this money without Uncle Sam touching it. And that account is protected from any kind of like lawsuits or anything because it's a retirement account. So it's a massive account for your kids to have. And while we're at it, it's a massive account for you to have if you don't have one. Tax-free. So look into it if you don't already have one for you or for your kids. Obviously, if your kids are actually earning taxable income.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you actually touched on that point that it's protected, right? So this account actually, when your child is ready to go to college, if they decide to, there's a calculation that happens when you apply for financial aid. This account is actually protected from that financial aid calculation. It's not showing up as assets because it is in that retirement account. So if your child has money in the high yield savings, if your child has money in the UGMA that we just talked about, those will be looked at as assets of the child and will impact their ability to get need-based financial aid in the future. However, this Roth IRA doesn't impact that calculation. So that's just a double whammy of why this is really important to have for your kids. And any type of contribution you make to it, like any money you put in, you can withdraw at any time, including some for, you know, college expenses, for qualified college expenses. So that's pretty cool.
And at the end of this, after we're done talking about the four, I'm going to make a comment in regards to all four. But before I do that, the last one, which is obviously one that's very popular in regards to the educational piece of investing for your child's future, and that's the 529 saving plan.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of college savings plans out there. And this one's near and dear to my heart because I just graduated last year. And I know how heavy student debt can be when a child is trying to graduate college, start, you know, living their adult life. Maybe they want to get an apartment. Maybe they want to travel. And then they graduate and they're in that 6 month waiting period. And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to pay a mortgage sized student loan debt payment. And it just becomes really real after that. So if I can, as much as I can, I'm going to help my children apply for scholarships, apply for grants, do work study, do all of these things, but also prepare them for a college 529 plan. There's a lot of college savings plans out there, but I like the 529 best because it kind of mirrors the IRA for tax purposes, right? So you put the money in after you pay taxes. The growth and the withdrawal are tax-free if you withdraw it for education purposes. So what does that mean? What is education purposes? It's for tuition, for books, for room and board, for computers, if that's necessary for your degree. It can even be used for qualified study abroad, which is awesome. So if I can kind of help my children out with something like that, because when I was younger, I wanted to have a law degree. I wanted to be a lawyer. And so that is 8 years of college tuition. So if I can prepare myself for that in a tax-free way, I forgot to mention, actually, the money you deposit in a 529 plan is invested in the stock market by the administrator. So that's pretty cool that you know your money is growing at the rate of the average rate of the stock market.
If I recall, you can also pick your investments in there. It's limited, but you can still pick some, right? Like there are some options in there.
Yeah. You do have some great options. Now, normally you'll find the 529 plan administered by your state, any state you want to pick. Mine is with New York State, but you can pick it with any state you want. You're not limited to just the state you live in. So they're going to give you a couple different baskets to pick from. Now, you could go with an age-based approach. So the investments are aggressive when the kids are younger, and they start to become more conservative as the child gets older because they're ready for college. So they don't want to see that huge dip and spike when they're getting ready to pull out that money. They want to make sure that you're solid by the time you're 18 and ready to go to college. So you could pick that age-based approach, or you could pick the approach that gives you a little bit more flexibility in saying, okay, this is like the index fund ETF approach where it's moderate, or you can pick this approach, which is aggressive, or you can pick this approach, which is conservative. So it matches really your investment risk tolerance. So like what you feel comfortable with.
Right. And I think it's important for everyone to understand when we're saying saving for kids, part of it is we're putting money in to save. The stock market is helping us invest it and growing that money a lot faster, because you can save the money, but it's going to take you having to put way more money in to get you to where you think the goal is, instead of investing that money, instead of if you did invest that money. So when we put it in a 529, it's actually being invested. So that money is actually going to grow with interest, et cetera, just as if you were investing in any other type of account. And so that way the money grows. So you put less contribution and then it grows because the stock market is growing with it. So that's the idea of these 529, these savings college plans, is that it's not just putting the money there for it to sit. It's sitting, but also invested so it can grow. So wanted to help people understand, because I think a lot of times people say savings, and it is saving, but it's actually being invested to help you grow that money that you basically work so hard to put in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point.
And actually, this is, you know, for the 529, the custodial Roth, whatever money you put in has to be invested, guys. Like, you know, it's not like you're going to put it in there and then it's going to grow on its own. Like you have to do something to grow. And I know that's always something people always talk about. Like when you put your money in these accounts, it's not the account that's investing the money for you. The account is just a vehicle. You have to do, you know, the investing yourself once you get in there. So obviously outside of the high yield savings account.
Yes, that is a big, big hurdle for most people, because the type of people that I teach are brand new investors. They are in the same position I was in not too long ago. And, you know, they're starting to invest for the first time themselves. They're starting to learn all of these tips and tricks and jargon. And it can be overwhelming. Parents, I feel your pain. It can be overwhelming. So what I do is I actually break it down from a very beginner level. Everything that I teach as far as investing for your kids can similarly be applied to investing for yourself. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, that's the first step in investing for your kids, is making sure you as the parent are investing for yourself first. You don't want to get to a position where you're trying to give your kids the moon, the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? But then you neglect to invest for yourself, and then you turn around and have to be dependent on your kids in retirement. That is what I try to avoid. So when you're opening these accounts for your kids and you're opening these accounts for yourself at the same time, when you deposit money in these accounts, you have to actually pick, like tapping on what you just said, you actually have to pick a stock. You actually have to pick an index fund or an ETF or whatever you decide to invest in. Because depositing money into those brokerage accounts won't mean that you're invested. It will sit there until you buy something. Right. So to get any type of return in the stock market, I kind of teach you and walk you through my method of how I look and analyze index funds and to see which ones I feel more comfortable with. And I kind of walk you through that because it can be sort of an intimidating process because you're not sure what you're going in there to look for. And so I kind of walk you guys through how to do that.
Well, I'm glad you actually brought up that point, because I was going to ask. And so thank you for actually bringing it up and removing me from the equation. But I actually asked Single Mom Money about that yesterday, or at least when I was talking to her, in regards to, as a parent, mother, father, both together, you want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. Like you can't. You know, it's the whole example of like, if the oxygen masks fall out on the plane, you got to put yours first before you put your kids. You don't want to just be all in on the kids and forget about you. You have a future that you need to worry about. You don't want to have to put a burden on your kids to take care of you while you're giving them this path of freedom. So you want to create a path for you, which then gives you with the knowledge to better equip your kids. So I think it's like, you know, parents sometimes are like all in on their kids, like completely. And they just say, I'll worry about me later. And that's a mistake. So I'm kind of glad you brought up that point, because I was going to ask you like your thoughts on like the parents, like, you know, saying I'll worry about my retirement when my kids are done with college. And that that's a mistake, because you're losing time and you're not really helping your kids the right way. So I wanted to bring that up.
And you know what's funny is that that's a mindset. That is completely, totally, utterly a mindset. And I don't want you guys to fault yourself if you feel that way, because I felt that way before. You feel guilty, or you feel this sense of, oh my gosh, well, I messed up for myself already. I might as well just give my kids a head start. But I don't want you to get stuck in this thing like, let me overgive to make up for what I wasn't able to give before, or let me overgive to make up for what my family never did for me, or let me overgive and overextend and put myself in an overdraft situation, or put myself in a, you know, I'll pause my retirement type situation. They have a lot longer to go than you do. So to capitalize on that time that they have, you know, worst case scenario, I don't want them to, but worst case scenario, they can take out student loans, but you cannot take out a loan for retirement.
Right.
What I teach is not only the mindset of it, not only the mindset of being an investor, right? But also how to start investing on a very tight budget. What I tell parents all the time is, listen, I would rather your kids be gifted with the overflow and abundance of your wealth rather than to you overextend yourself just to provide for them and put yourself in a bind. So what I teach is, use their birthday money. If people are gifting them tons of birthday money, I know that people Venmo me, they say, hey, you know, buy your kids a gift. Here's $20, $20, $25. Use part of that and tell your kids, hey, part of your birthday money is going towards your investment and the other part is going towards toys. I actually have a blog post on my website about this. I teach people, when, you know, your kids are outgrowing their toys and your kids are outgrowing your clothes, sell them and use that money towards their investments. You know, try to keep things in pristine condition. If you were gifted a really expensive stroller, keep that thing nice and clean and sell it back. Use all of that money to propel your kids for the future. So that way, all of your income is going towards your retirement, or if you're paying off debt, or if you're doing these things. So we can make all of it possible. We can make all of this possible.
Yeah, I would say, as a parent, and me, like all my friends who have kids, and like, you know, it's their gifts or when it's their birthdays, I'm gifting them stocks. I don't give toys anymore.
Yes.
Like, I give them, and then some of them are like, what am I supposed to do? Oh, great opportunity to open a custodial account. Do that. Because it's like, the kids are going to be done with these toys in about 5 minutes.
Yes.
And if I give them a $50 gift card to Apple stock, for example, where you can even give an ETF stock certificate, you can gift to kids, they're not going to know about it. So they're not going to care. But guess what? That's one less thing for you as a parent to worry about. And I'm not saying everybody would do that. Like, if you have 10 people giving you gifts, four of them give you some stock stuff, the other six give you toys, that's a win-win as far as I'm concerned. So different ways to go about it. And, you know, lastly, before we end it out, I'm sure you guys are probably thinking, should we have all four of these accounts? Well, first, I'll give my opinion on this. You can if you want to. So you don't have to basically, like, if you want to specifically pick one, you can. But I know some people who have three of those. And that's just because they all serve a purpose. So don't think that you need to try to find your way to put just all your eggs in one basket, because all four of those have a specific purpose that can basically help your kids. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
That's a great question. So the way I kind of teach it is, the first step in the process is to set a goal. And the way I goal set, if your kids are very small, like they're 1, 2 years old and they can't really verbalize what their goals are, I think about what my 18 or 21 year old self would have wanted, right? So what did my life look like at that point in my life? It looked like me getting my first car. It looked like me going to college. It looked like, you know, maybe I wanted to get my first apartment or my first home or start my first business or start traveling. So those are the things that I wanted at that age in my life. So when your kids are young, I want you to think about those goals. Pick a couple goals, goals set for yourself, write them down, and write how much you approximate that would cost you. So then once you think about those goals, you have to pick an account that matches those goals
right.
most effectively. So if I said my goal was college, well, which one of those four accounts will match that goal? It's the 529. Boom, that's one account you start with. Let's say your goal is travel. Well, which account would match that goal? Well, I think it would be the UGMA, right? Because you have the most flexibility in that account and you're actually getting growth. Boom, UGMA. Also, you know, parents may decide to open their own stock market account in the parent's name so they can control that, right? So it'd be the UGMA or just a parent brokerage account. So that's kind of how I do it. Same thing with a car. If you're wanting to invest for a car, save for a car, you can't do so in a retirement account. You know, right. Retirement account, I think long-term savings, I think don't pull out the money. I think like set it and forget it. That's what I think. So the only thing I would recommend is, or like impart upon you guys when you're picking these four accounts to choose from, I would say if you decide on one, that's still fine as long as it's not only savings. Like, right. Let's say you're picking, you're like, oh, well, forget all of these other accounts. I'm just going to go with the high yield savings. I would encourage you to at least pick one investing account and couple it with one savings account. That's what I would, you know, try to impart on you guys. If you take nothing away from this conversation, just take that, because the stock market is going to give you on average 8 to 10% annual returns, while the savings account is going to give you 0.5%. So, you know, pick one, pick all four, pick two. Just make sure you make that goal list and match it up with the accounts.
That's wonderful. And the two things I'll say as we close this out is, one, as you make the goals list, always remember your goals update, right? Like today you set goals. 5 years from now, you might have to pivot. But the idea is to set goals that at least gives you a path to actually go with. But then if your goals have to change, then you're already, like, you don't have to change all the way because you already set goals there. So one of the things with these accounts is you might set a goal today based on an account, and then 5 years from now, you pivot to something else. That's how people get more accounts, is that as kids grow, as their goals grow, as your goals grow, you might decide to have different accounts. And then lastly, because of Danielle's great and wonderful knowledge on this, if you guys have any questions or want to know more, she's a great resource for this particular topic. So Danielle, where can people kind of find you online, on your website, or you have a blog, your social media, where can folks find you?
Yeah, thank you so much. It's actually just a huge honor for me to be able to teach you guys and to be able to, you know, pour into you and teach you something new and maybe give you some tips that you've never heard before. You can find me. I live on Instagram. I love IG. That's where you can find me probably 99% of the time. My Instagram name is Danielle_invests, because that's what I do, Danielle Invests. Also, you can find me on my website. It is very easy to find. It's just my name, DanielleShirley.com. On my website, you'll be able to find all of my courses, all of my resources that specifically teach you how to invest for your kids. I have a course that dives into these four accounts, the pros and the cons of all of that. And we talk about how to set it up and the money mindset and the whole nine. It's important that you find that course there on my website, as well as my blog. I contribute weekly to a money mindset and also tips and tricks blog. So you can find tons of free information there, as well as, you know, Instagram. I'm posting free tips and tricks and doing videos that are very, very informative that you can help, you know, either motivate you to get started or teach you something new. That's where I live.
Wonderful. Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, thank you so much for taking the time to come talk to the audience today. I'm sure, and I hope that they've gathered and picked up some tips, if anything, at the minimum. And so for everyone else, as always, guys, remember, stay woke always, and we'll talk to you guys next week.